Starting in 1 Peter, chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 3 through 9. Peter says here, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes through it, is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith and salvation of your souls." Now let's just jump a few verses down to verse 13, and I'm going to read 13 through 16. Peter says here, "Therefore gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" Now if you would turn over to 2 Peter, and in chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 5 through 8, and then we're going to jump down and I'm going to read verses 12 through 15. But first, verses 5 through 8 in chapter 1 of 2 Peter. "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." And now jump down to verse 12. "For this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." So, from these verses, we can see that Peter obviously had great love and concern for Christians, for other Christians. He had a great love for them, but he was also concerned that they continue to grow. And he also said in there that he wants them to be constantly reminded that they need to continually grow. So what I want to look at tonight is what events in Peter's life maybe led him to where he's at, where he's saying these things. We know this is inspired of the Holy Spirit, but this is Peter writing these things. So I want to go back and look at some events in Peter's life and look at those and see how they affected him, and why he has such concern. So he has such love for the brethren, he has such concern for them, and such a desire to make sure that they are constantly reminded to continue to grow. You know, we have all kind of things recorded for us about Paul and the way that he was persecuted, being stoned and beaten. But as far as Peter goes, we do know of a couple of times that he was arrested and threatened, and times that he was even concerned for his life, but we don't have anything recorded even close to what it seems like Paul went through. So what we want to do tonight is just look at some verses that tell us some things about Peter. Most of the verses are going to be, we're going to be spending a lot of time in Matthew and then some time in Acts, but we're going to read some things about Peter, and I'll make a few comments after we read the scriptures as we develop our thoughts about Peter, and then try to understand his deep concern for the fact that Christians need to continue to grow. So if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 4, And in Matthew chapter 4, I'm going to start reading just verses 18 through 20. So Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20 says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him." So just from these verses, we can see that Peter was a man who had an open heart. When Jesus called to him for him to follow him, Peter immediately dropped his nets and followed him. So Peter, right from the beginning, we know that Peter was a man who had an open heart. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 14. And I'm going to read verses 22 through 29. So Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 29. "Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost,' and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' So he said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." So from these verses, again, trying to look at Peter and the man that he was, we can see here that Peter had strong faith. He had strong enough faith to get out in the middle of the night on a boisterous sea and step out and walk to Jesus. An incredible display of Peter's faith. So we know Peter as a man that had an open heart. We know that as he spent time with Jesus, his faith developed to the point where he's at now, where we're looking at him now. Peter had very strong faith. He was willing to get out of that boat at a time when the winds were blowing and the sea was rough and it was dark, and he still stepped out on that water and began walking to Jesus. So now turn over to Matthew chapter 17. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. It says, "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him.' And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, 'Arise and do not be afraid.' When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only." So here we can see that before we had talked about, Peter had a very strong faith. But even with his strong faith, we know that Peter did not have complete knowledge at this point, right? Because he still, at this point, was kind of putting Jesus on the same level as Moses and Elijah. And God corrects him on that, right? But here Peter is an eyewitness to the transfiguration, and he hears the voice of God with his own ears. This is all part of what we're looking at as to the makeup of Peter. Here is a man who has heard God's voice directly. He has witnessed the transfiguration. He has been rebuked by God for putting Christ on the same level as Moses and Elijah, basically saying those other two are nothing. This is my Son. Hear him. So now turn back to Matthew chapter 16, and I'm going to read verses 13 through 20. So Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. So, again, we see an example of Peter's faith in making this confession that Jesus is not just one of the other prophets, but he is indeed the Son of God. So now let's turn to Matthew 26. Hopefully you're keeping all this in your mind, keeping all this together. We'll go back and revisit it, but keep in mind all of these things that we're pointing out about Peter. And also keep in mind the words that we read from 1 and 2 Peter about his concern for the other Christians. So in Matthew chapter 26, I'm going to read verses 31 through 35. And this is, we're at the point of the night of Jesus' betrayal. So in Matthew 26, 31 through 45, you get to where I need to be, okay? Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. So Peter has confidence in his faith. He doesn't just have faith. Peter has confidence in his faith. Peter says, and I think Peter believed what he was saying here. I think in his heart, Peter honestly believed he would never deny Christ, right? And that he was willing to go and die with him. But Jesus tells him, you think that your faith is that strong. You think you believe that your faith is that strong, but you're going to find out before the night's over, right? But Peter, at this point, has extreme confidence in his faith. So now turn to John chapter 18. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 11 of John chapter 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Let me back up. The reason I jumped over to John's account is this, because this is where Peter is named. So that's the reason we came to John to cover this. But I'll start again in verse 1 of chapter 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with the disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" And they answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. And he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, 'Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none.' Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear, and the servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, 'Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?'" So Peter here is willing to physically, in the face of a huge group of armed people, Peter is willing to physically defend Jesus. Now let's turn to the book of Acts. We're going to look at some of Peter's preaching. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2. I'll get there eventually. And I'm just going to read verses 22 through 34, and then verse 36. I'm not going to read the whole sermon. You can read it later if you want to, back up to verse 14. But we're going to start in verse 22 of Acts chapter 2. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you, by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. And then let's just jump down to... No, I'm going to continue on. Sorry about that. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life, and you will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and in the tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Now let's jump down to verse 36. Now, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now turn over to Acts chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 13 through 20. And then we'll jump down to verses 29 and 30, but Acts chapter 4, verses 13 through 20. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, Right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And then down into verse 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that the signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. So from these two times in Peter's life, in his preaching and teaching and the way he is, we can see that Peter spoke with boldness. We can see that Peter relied on God, that after he was arrested and let go, the first thing he did was went back and prayed to God to continue to give them the courage to speak with boldness in the front of this persecution. So far, we've looked at the fact that Peter, from the beginning, was a man with an open heart. We have seen that Peter had strong faith. We have seen that Peter had conviction in his faith, that he believed that he had a strong faith, that he was willing to defend Christ physically. He was willing to make the statement that he would never deny Christ. And from his teaching here, we can see that he is boldly proclaiming that to anybody who will listen. And even when he is threatened by the council to stop preaching, he says, can't do it. If I am either to obey you or obey God, you tell me what to do. Right? So now turn to Acts chapter 10. And I'm going to read verses 9 through 15. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanting to eat, but while they made ready... Am I in the right place? Okay. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the front at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it was all kind of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again a second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. So here Peter is... We have already talked about the fact that at the Transfiguration he heard the voice of God. Here Peter is given a direct vision. We know this is concerning him going to go to Cornelius, and this is all about the Gentiles. But Peter is given a direct vision from God. So here Peter has heard the voice of God. He has been given this vision concerning the Gentiles. And now turn over to Acts chapter 11. And we'll see this carry out a little bit further. I'll start in verse 1. And we will go down through 18. So, Acts chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, "You went to the uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter explained it to them in order that from the beginning, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. An object descending like a great sheet, let down from heaven by the four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'No, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth.' But the voice answered me again from heaven, 'What God has cleansed, you must not call common.' Now this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. At that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house, and he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, 'Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Then I remember the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus, who was I that I could withstand God?" When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life." So Peter is given a vision by God to go to Cornelius, to not think of the Gentiles anymore as unclean, that what God declares clean is clean, and to go do what he's told. And then in chapter 11, when Peter is confronted with it, he defends the Gentiles being brought into Christianity. He says, "Look, God told me to do it, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, so who am I to argue with God? This is God's plan," right? So Peter not only went and helped Cornelius to be saved, but he is now defending the fact that Gentiles are going to be part of the church. And so Peter, in many ways, was a great servant of Christ. But now I want to look at a few other details in Peter's life. Turn back to Matthew chapter 14. We had just read this where Peter walked on the water, a great display of his faith. But now let's read the rest of it. In verse 30, starting in 30 and through 31. But when he saw that the wind was, so Jesus, he just told him to come to him, and Peter is walking on the water out to him. But starting in verse 30, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. So as great as Peter's faith was just moments before, when he became afraid, his faith faltered. Now turn to Matthew chapter 26. I'm going to read verses 36 through 40. So Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 40. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch for me. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. So Peter has allowed physical concerns, the physical things that we have to deal with on this earth, but he's allowed those things to get in the way of doing what Jesus had asked him to do. This is the same Peter that we've read all these other things about, but here Jesus simply says, stay here and watch out for me. I'm going on to pray, and he comes back and he finds him sleeping. Now, jump down to verse 69 in Matthew 26. So this is after Jesus has been arrested. Peter follows him to the courtyard and said, now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to him, to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. So he went out and wept bitterly. So this is the same Peter that has just said earlier that night, I'll never deny you. I will die with you. Everybody else may be made to stumble, but not me. So Peter had confidence in his faith, but when the true test came, when Satan put the temptation before him, when he was afraid, Satan was able to weaken him, was able to weaken his faith, and Peter denied Christ. Now one more scripture, and then we will tie all this together. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 11 through 13. So Galatians 2, chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, this is Paul talking, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with this hypocrisy. So this is the same Peter who had specifically received a vision from God telling him that the Gentiles were a welcome part of the church. He got to see the Holy Spirit come upon Cornelius and his household. He made a defense of his of that action before the people in Jerusalem. He defended those actions about the Gentiles. But now, when peer pressure gets to working on him, Peter gives in again to the temptation that's put before him. Satan using peer pressure to influence Peter to act differently when Jews are around than when the Jews aren't. If there aren't certain well-to-do Jews around, Peter's perfectly happy to sit with the Gentiles. But in order to save face with the more influential Jews, if you will say, or whatever, when they come to town, Peter, oh, nope. And it even says that Barnabas, who was part of the missionary journeys and went out teaching the word of the Gentiles, Barnabas was even carried away with the hypocrisy. So, but we're looking at Peter here. So Peter, we've seen that Peter truly did have great faith and he did great things in the service of Christ. But Peter also stumbled on many occasions. If Peter, who witnessed Jesus' miracles on this earth, was taught personally by Jesus, received word directly from the Holy Spirit, was given visions from God, performed miracles himself, if he can be tempted by Satan to the point where he gives in, what does that say about us? Do the physical demands of life sometimes tempt us to sleep instead of watching? Do we allow the physical things of this life to get in the way so that we know we should be spending more time studying in our Bible, more time in prayer, more time visiting, more time doing whatever we need to do in the service of our Lord? Do we allow the physical things to get in the way? And I'm not talking about, there are some things physically we can't get around. If you're sick and laying in a bed, there's not a whole lot you can do. You can pray, but there's not a whole lot you can, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the trivial little physical things. I'm tired. I'm just too tired today. I know Jerry's been sick, and I know I really should at least pick up the phone and give him a call, but I'm just exhausted. I mean, if Peter can give in to those temptations, you think we need to be watching out for that stuff? Do the fears of this life sometimes cause us to take our eyes off the goal and start to sink? You know, we can all, everybody sitting in here can have strong faith. But when the conditions are just right and we're in fear, maybe we're in fear of being made fun of. Maybe we're in fear of not getting a promotion at work. Maybe we're in fear of so many things. Can we allow that fear to cause us to take our eyes off the goal and just like Peter, start sinking? Can we become so overconfident in our faith to the point that we think we are so strong that we can withstand anything Satan throws at us? If it can happen to Peter, a man that got to experience everything he did, if it can happen to Peter, it can certainly happen to me. Can we get so concerned with peer pressure, with being popular, that we give in to the peer pressure and do something that we know is not right, but to save the humility of the moment or to maybe become more popular with certain people or whatever? Can we give in to that temptation? And, you know, it's not really going to do any harm, right? There's nothing significant about this. It's not going to really do any harm if I do this. I can go and and do this, and it's not really, it's not specifically condemned in the Bible. It's not, you know, I can make all the excuses I want to, but in my heart, I know it's not what I should be doing. But can I give in to the peer pressure and allow that to affect me? If it can happen to Peter and it can happen to Barnabas, it can certainly happen to me. Just a little side note here, specifically for a lot of our younger people, because most of us that have been alive for 30 years or more fully understand this, but when I was younger, I didn't fully understand it. The incredible thing about popularity is it changes so quick. What's popular today will not be popular tomorrow. The people that are popular today will not be popular, and no matter how hard you try, you can't be popular with everybody. If I do what I need to do to make myself popular with Jerry and what he thinks, I'm going to make Sherman mad, right? You can't be popular with everything. The only thing that you can be, the only thing that you should be seeking to be popular with is with God. If I'm in the right place with God, that'll never change. God will never change. God's promises will never go away. Don't get wrapped up worrying about peer pressure and conforming to what people are trying to get you to do to be part of the popular group or whatever, because it ain't going to last. Nothing ever does. The only thing that lasts is God. And so make sure that you're in the right place with God, and don't worry about whether somebody else, whether you're popular at school or popular at whatever group or function, because it won't last. I know a lot of people that are really popular in high school that within a year or two, nobody wanted to talk to them. I knew people in high school that got popular for the wrong reasons, and all of a sudden, there's no way to get around that, trying to come back hardly. So we haven't really talked tonight about what it takes to become a Christian. We've talked a whole lot about the fact that we as Christians need to be on guard. Peter, we can see from the events of his life, some of the things that molded Peter, we can see why he's so concerned that people constantly recognize and be reminded of their need to continue to grow. Because Peter went through these things. And Peter was a witness of so many things. Peter got to see miracles performed. Peter got to perform miracles. Peter had the Holy Spirit speaking to him. All of this, and yet Peter was still able, Satan was still able to tempt Peter to turn away at times. And he can certainly do that to us. And Peter, in his letters there, he is trying in every way he can to get people to understand you have to keep growing. You have to keep pushing forward. You have to keep growing. Don't get confident in where you're at. Don't assume that you can withstand whatever Satan can throw at you, because as soon as you get there, watch out. As soon as you get that mindset, then Satan's going to throw something at you. So keep growing. Keep studying. Keep praying. Haven't talked much about what it takes to be a Christian, but I'll let Peter do that. Acts 2:38, at the end of Peter's sermon, we talked about we read down through verse 36, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So tonight, if you are not yet a Christian, you can listen to Peter. You can listen to what Peter told those men who realized that they had committed a great sin and they had to get that fixed, and Peter said, this is the way to fix it. You accept the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You get baptized, and that you wash away all your sins. You don't have to worry about what you've done in the past. Now you start moving forward. And once you've done that, you're going to be just like the rest of us. We're going to have to listen and learn from the example that we have from Peter, that we need to constantly be reminded to keep moving forward, to keep studying, to keep learning, to keep growing closer to God. If you're in any way subject to the invitation, if you need the prayers of the congregation, if you're struggling out there, if you're sitting there thinking, you know, I really was confident in my faith, but looking back over it, I have stumbled a lot. If it's nothing that we need to know about, then just go home and pray about it. Make it right. Don't put your head on the pillow tonight without making it right with God. If you do feel, though, that you need the help of the congregation here, we can pray with you, we can study with you, we can do whatever we need to. Tonight, if you would like to, you can come forward and we'll pray with you. And if you have not yet been baptized, tonight is the perfect opportunity. Don't walk out those doors in your heart knowing that you have sinned and that if the world was to end tonight, or if by some tragic event your life was to end tonight, you would have no hope. Don't let that happen to you. You have an opportunity now as we stand and as we sing.